Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I hope that as you heard the Old Testament lesson and the Gospel lesson this morning, that you were struck with how amazing those two things are. You have the story of Ezekiel's vision of the dry bones. Yeah, I can't hear that lesson but think of the song, them bones gonna rise again, them bones. Fred Waring as Corral sang that with sound effects. It was amazing. Them bones gonna rise again. An amazing thing for the Spirit to have given to Ezekiel at a time of despair for the nation of Israel, because most of the nation had been carried off into exile in Babylon, and God uses this amazing resurrection vision imagery to assure his people that they will return, that they will come back, that their existence on earth is not over as a nation. I don't know how the people in that day received that message or if they fully understood what God was trying to say to them, but boy, when you or I read that story and imagine, I mean, can you imagine? It was only a vision, but still, can you imagine what it had to be like for Ezekiel to see and hear what God was revealing to him? Bone connecting to bone, and flesh and sinew appear, and breath coming into them, and they rise to life. Ooh. And then, as if that's not enough today, we have a story that John tells us about the raising of Lazarus. They pair together so well, don't they? You know, I find it surprising that none of the other Gospels mention that at all. I don't know why the Spirit didn't cause Matthew or Mark or Luke to include that in their Gospels, but boy, I'm sure glad that he caused John to put it in his, because it's just filled with some amazing kinds of things that might lead us to contemplate a little bit on some things. Like, you know, you have, I mean, we know the end of the story, you know, but at the beginning, if you didn't know the end of the story, you'd say, why did Jesus wait? I mean, if you have friends who are in serious trouble, having some real problem, wouldn't you try to get there as quickly as you could? But he waited. Now, we know why, of course, but at that time, you have to think, you know, the disciples had to look at him and say, or the messengers or whoever had to look at Jesus and say, why aren't we going? Well, he waited on purpose, makes that very clear. And it's interesting that then when he does decide to go, Thomas, they're all saying, well, wait a minute, we're going back where you were in deep trouble a little bit ago and they were trying to stone you. Are you sure you want to go back into that area? Huh? Might be dangerous. Thomas says, when they do go, Thomas, doubting Thomas, he comes to be known later, well, if you're gonna go, we'll go with you and die with you. And then Jesus gets close to the town, and Martha hears that he's coming, finally. So she runs out to meet him on the road before he even gets there, and expresses a kind of faith, I suppose. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Well, sure, I mean, Jesus had done all kinds of miracles, like healing people before this happened. So, yeah, that makes sense. But now she's kind of saying, you know, yeah, if you had been here, but now it's too late. And Mary, when she comes out, kind of says the same thing. If you had been here, but, well, it was too late, maybe, but Jesus says, well, wait a minute, do you really understand who I am and what I can do? And Martha, Martha's the one who stayed in the kitchen when Jesus had been visiting, and Mary sat at Jesus' feet. But Martha, here and now, says, you are the Christ, the Son of the God, who is to come. Whoa! Amazing statement of truth from Martha, of all people. So after Mary and Martha have both come, Jesus says, well, where is Lazarus buried? And they say, well, come, we'll show you. And all of the people who were there with them were, of course, crying and expressing their grief, as people do to support one another. And we have this amazing statement as Jesus sees the people weeping and grieving, Jesus wept. There's been a lot of talk about why he wept, but I think John is pretty clear that he wept because he saw what the people were weeping, that they were sad, that they were grieving. He was hurt. He was compassionate. He empathized with them, and he felt for them, and he felt for Mary and Martha, and so he wept. He wept. Jesus, the Son of God, wept. What does that say to you or me about how he cares about us, all of us, in every situation? Amazing, really amazing. But then they arrive at the tomb, and he gets them to roll away the stone. And the most amazing thing of all, Jesus says, Lazarus, come out! And he does. Still wrapped up, probably looked like the mummy, you know. Still wrapped up, cloth over his face. But he comes out of the tomb, risen back to life. And some, at least, then believed. Now, we don't know what happened to Lazarus after that. Obviously, he had to die again, but it doesn't matter. The point is made here that Jesus is truly the master over even death. Are you impressed? I am. I mean, that's astounding when you think about it. It's not something that happens very often, if at all. And this becomes a key event. Some believe, and for others it becomes the straw that breaks the camel's back, as it were. It forces their hand. It leads them to the point where they recognize or feel that they have to finally get rid of this Jesus. And they do, at least temporarily. Because you also then have Jesus' own resurrection coming, don't you? So think about it. Think about that event. Think about what Jesus said. And be amazed to hear, "I am the resurrection and the life." Resurrection and life for us. Now, even though it's not exactly what the gospel story is all about, I think that I would like to make a connection this morning to the reading we heard from Paul's letter. Because in that passage, Paul also talks about death and life. In 8 verse 6, to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. And then a little couple verses later, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit which dwells in you. So let me declare to you that Jesus' work and that the good news that we share is that Jesus, in his good news and in your baptisms, called out to me and to you who were and would still be dead, and he said to us, "Come out!" And we did. We came out of death in this world and all that would destroy us, and we came to life with God. We have been made righteous by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, and we have been given hope and peace by the proof of his resurrection from the dead. And as surely as Lazarus came out of the tomb at the voice of Jesus, you and I have come out of our deaths at the voice of Jesus, and we now live with God. Now and forever. And I will say that no matter how amazing you think that valley of dry bones is, and no matter how amazing you think that the resurrection of Lazarus is, it's nothing compared to the fact that Jesus said to me, "Come out," and I did. And he said to you, "Come out," and you did. And you now live with and for God. And that is truly amazing. Truly amazing. Thank God. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.